morning. And joining me now, former New South Wales Premier and former Australian Foreign Minister Bob Carr. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, Richard.
Would you mind, well, thanks for your time, firstly. Would you mind just giving us a little bit of background on the situation in Ukraine and why you think this has come about?
I think it's the vision of Peter the Great that plays in the mind of Vladimir Putin. He's thinking of the greatest Russian leader of the last 300, 400 years, who made his name by extending Russian territory. In the back of Putin's mind, someone who's intensely conscious of Russian history, is the image of Russia's great leader who expanded the territory and made Russia effectively a superpower by the standards of the 18th century, or an empire.
Right, okay. And I know Putin has come out publicly and on a number of occasions said he thinks the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century was the demise of the USSR. You think he wants to put it back together again and make Russia a superpower once again?
Yeah, I think it was Henry Kissinger who, in a conversation with me, the former US Secretary of State, who said, you've got to remember about Russia that they woke up one day and they were no longer an empire. They lost numerous republics, countless republics that had been under the Soviet Union. And the biggest loss was Ukraine, because Ukraine was a region in which Russian history had been made. And it was impossible to think about Russia without thinking of Ukraine as being part of that. None of this, let me quickly say, is a justification for the criminal act in defiance of international law and the Charter of the United Nations that we have witnessed. And I've got to say very quickly, our thoughts go out to the people of Ukraine who were an independent nation, wanted to maintain their status as an independent nation, but who've suffered the horror, Richard, of waking up and hearing that a foreign country was in the process of invading theirs. And we can understand how horrific and frightening, how terrifying that is for any people.
Sure. A number of commentators and politicians around the world have said, with respect to what's happening there, that it doesn't make sense what Putin is doing, and he's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen next. Do you think it does make sense?
No, it doesn't, unless he were very quickly to make it clear his war aims were a border adjustment that saw the areas occupied or, and there is a difference, occupied and claimed by Russian separatists in the eastern part of Ukraine were established as independent republics, pro-Russian, and then with that gained, he quickly withdraws. But he's given himself another more disturbing war aim. He said his goal is to achieve the denazification of Ukrainian leadership. Well, that could mean anything, because it's not a Nazi leadership. And to demilitarize, render Ukraine a country without a military. And those two obscure and extreme objectives, war aims, would seem to be the justification for a long-term Russian occupation.
Right. The world's been talking about sanctions, and they're going to ramp them up, I dare say. They don't seem to have had any effect thus far. Do you think sanctions are enough?
We've got no alternative but to apply sanctions to prove to the people around Putin, if not Putin himself, that there is a serious cost, a serious penalty in behaviour that is so contemptuous of global standards and international law. That said, one's got to say there are a lot of problems with sanctions. Sometimes they hurt you more than the country
you're
applying them to.
And
countries have ways of getting around them.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, I mean, you're right that sanctions are obviously going to hurt other countries, not just Russia. And if the world doesn't say strong with those sanctions, what do you think will happen, Bob?
Well, he would have done everything to have immunised Russia from the effect of sanctions, to have set up his financial institutions as alternative source of funding, for example, to have found alternative suppliers. The Russian budget is strong. At the moment, they have big international reserves, even though their economy is small and vulnerable compared to the NATO powers. I think we've got no alternative but to apply sanctions, but we should be under no illusions that he's not ready for them and won't survive them.
Rita is one of many people who's emailed in this morning, and Rita says, and I'm quoting here, the whole problem with Ukraine is that Ukraine is not part of NATO. Your response to that?
Well, the Russian hostility to Ukraine is based on Ukraine not ruling out that it won't join NATO, not ruling out that it will join NATO. That is the basis of Russian antagonism. Before 2015, you might have said the best way of securing the independence is the following. One, to state that Ukraine would be like Finland. It would be an independent republic, completely independent of Russia, making no concessions to Russia, except that it would not aspire to be a NATO member or a member of the European Union. That's the status of Finland. It's also the status of Austria, neutral. If that was Kissinger's advice and the advice of other foreign policy experts. But once Russia had claimed Crimea, occupied Crimea in 2014-2015, the die was really cast. NATO's expansion had been too rapid and too thoughtless. In the 1990s, it would have been better for America to have contemplated a European security order that embraced Russia under its previous leader. But those times and those opportunities have passed. We must be united in condemning what Putin has done and making clear that NATO will not tolerate further assaults on the independence and sovereignty of European nations.
Donald Trump in the past, when he was US president, seemed to have a great love for Vladimir Putin. Do you think the world situation would be different if Donald Trump had been re-elected US president?
I think Putin would have been even more emboldened. He would have been very confident of no retaliatory action if Trump had stayed there. The softness that Trump evinced towards Putin is one of the mysteries of our times and has never been properly explained.
We've had a number of calls this morning with reference to the United Nations and what's happening in Ukraine, that the UN is a toothless tiger in these sort of situations. Would you agree with that?
Well, of course it is, because the UN Security Council comprises Russia and gives Russia a veto power. So the governing body of the UN, the Security Council, whose mission is to maintain peace and security, is based on a membership that reflects the victors of World War I of 1945. It's anomalous that France and the United Kingdom are members, but India and Japan are not. Russia is, of course, a member, and the five permanent members have veto power, and nothing can happen in terms of committing peacekeeping forces, for example, with the if there isn't unanimity among those five.
Look,
we can veto actually.
Yes. Look, we're just with respect to us here in Australia, it's had a big impact on the share market. Fuel prices are expected to go through the roof. How do you think this will affect us here in Australia, Bob?
I think the most immediate thing is fuel prices, and the question is how long before there's a normalisation. Sometimes the response to big shocking events can be surprisingly quick normalisation. I think clarifying, everything depends on how Putin clarifies his war aims. Is this a long occupation that will encounter resistance from the population of Ukraine, or is he after territorial adjustments that set up pro-Russian republics in the east, and then maybe a corridor to Crimea, a land corridor to Crimea, followed by a quick Russian withdrawal? Sadly, he's using language that implies a longer occupation because he is aspiring to enforcing a demilitarization of Ukraine, which is an unacceptable demand.
Right.
Telling a neighbouring country that it can't have a military.
Yeah. And finally, okay, we're talking about sanctions here. Do you think we should be doing more, and do you think we can do more to help those in Ukraine?
I would explore. I think the only thing the federal government can do, and I support everything the current government has done, and everything Anthony Albanese is committed to, we've got a united position, and sanctions are part of the united position. We should be talking to our allies and like-minded countries about any strategic extension of sanctions, and where they do more harm to Russia and to the Putin leadership, we should be and don't harm ourselves. We should be applying them. Yes, we should be exploring. We should be exploring further sanctions.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, and have a great weekend, Bob. Much appreciated.
Yeah, great to talk to you and your audience, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob Carr, former New South Wales Premier and former Australian Foreign Minister.